This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Brentford FC, come on you Brentford, come on.
Welcome to the Besotted Podcast, second podcast this week actually. Obviously we had one at the beginning of the week because we had a midweek game against Sheffield Wednesday. And we're looking forward now to our game against Bolton on Saturday away, second time to the Midwest or the Northwest in 7 days, which will be a bit of a trek for some fans, but we took a lot up there and hopefully we'll take a lot up there again on Saturday. I've got the studio with me today, Dave Lane from Besotted. It's me, Billy the Bee, and Dave Lane. And we'll be chatting a bit later to Matt Anderson from Lion of Vienna Suite, the Bolton fanzine. Anyway, Dave, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, I thought it was an encouraging match on Tuesday, another entertaining one. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, not being potent enough up front, which is, you know, it's going to be a common thing throughout the season, I think. But I think it highlighted once again that, you know, we're just missing that clinical edge. But, you know, when they weren't a bad team themselves, so you know, I think a point was a pretty valuable one. Although you know, I think it's always natural for us to feel like it could have been three, might have been three, but it was one, and I think we should be fairly content with that.
I mean, a point was fair enough at the end of the day. I mean, Wednesday came down to us with a pretty decent away record compared to their home record, anyway. And a lot of their fans were fairly confident, actually, they'll get something out of that game. I know that, I think Mark Devlin said that it was one of the most exciting nil-all games that you're going to see. I mean, it was fairly exciting, and I don't know if you had a look back and saw the chances, but again, a couple of gilt-out chances that we missed or weren't given. I mean, key points in the game, Hotter, the way that he left those two defenders for dead was just unbelievable. It was something out of sort of kind of a magic show. Left the two defenders for dead and threaded the ball through to Gray, who scored, who apparently, according to some, including Mark Warburton, thought it was onside.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, it's those thin margins. It's another one that's gone against us. And you're right, you know, what Jota did was world class in that instant. And not only did he leave those two for dead, that he actually delivered the perfect cross as well, and Andre Gray smashed it in the back of the net. People saying he doesn't take his chances, and you know he's sort of he's not quite up to the level we'd hope yet. Well, I say that's wrong. You know, I think that one really went against him, and it could have been the match winner. The linesman put his flag up. That's completely out of our control. So, you know, he proved he was clinical, and he has got the touch. The fact that he didn't convert one later on is kind of, I guess it's relevant, but it's kind of neither here nor there when you look at the bigger picture.
And that chance that he had later on, it's sort of similar in a way to the one that he had at Wigan. He got the ball and he tried to lob it, and again it went over the crossbar, which I thought he was a bit unlucky. Probably could have done a few other things, but he decided to actually kind of take it first time, lob the ball over, and again a little bit unlucky. And as we said, we chatted him on the train on the way back from Wigan, and he was just a little bit gutted because he thought that he should have taken that chance a bit better at Wigan. And again, he had the opportunity here, and maybe it's just not quite going for him, is it?
No, but as I just said, you know, it did go for him with the first chance. And what we're asking from our strikers is to be instinctive and to do things naturally, and to expect him to sort of put a thought process in between the ball coming across and thinking, oh, what should I do with it? The chance is going to go at this level. He has to do what comes naturally to his mind and to his foot. And if that is to lob, then he ought to carry on trying to do that, because we are believing in him, and it will come right for him. So just carry on doing what you're doing, mate. And I'm happy for him to be in the starting lineup for as long as Warbs agrees with us.
I mean, we've had a couple of nil-all draws, one up at Wigan, one against Sheffield. Some people say we're holding our own. I mean, a lot of people think we've done very well. And other people still saying we're probably not clinical enough and we're not scoring as many goals as we could do. Because if we had scored the goals that we should have done, we actually could have been near the top of the league, which would be quite scary. And that's opened up a bit of a debate, hasn't it, on the goal scoring front, because I know you've got Andre Gray, we've just explained, and you thought, excellent player, really good prospect. Big Nick Prosovic as well. And it's opened up a debate up on the Besotted Twitter page and online as to whether Big Nick should be given more of a chance in the game, whether or not he's the player for us, whether or not we should be changing our formation slightly to actually bring him into the game. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's two points to that. I think a lot of Brentford fans, and myself included, you can kind of get tempted into raising your expectations or aspirations for the season. We've seen how close the division is, and you kind of think, if we were to win this, then we'd be 3 points off the top. And whether that's an unrealistic dream that we could be challenging this season or this early, I don't know. But when you've got the opportunity, you really got to go for it. And I think there's always that slight frustration that, oh, if that point had been three today, we would have been in the playoff places again. And so the snowball effect from that continues. So I think after getting promotion and having a sort of an environment where success is sort of being encouraged and being achieved, I think it's sometimes difficult to rein yourself back in. But onto Big Nick being given a chance and missing his chance when he could have made his name for himself on Wednesday. Again, you're right. There's been a bit of a debate. There's been a really good article, which I don't agree with, but we've published on Besotted, on besotted.com, and I think that it's calling for fans to give him a chance and to be patient and not to write him off, which I guess is fair enough. We don't want to get on our players' backs, but it's ignoring the fact that we're doing exactly that with Andre Gray. So having we haven't seen a lot of Nick. We've certainly seen him in glimpses, but you know, I'm afraid football's a bit of a brutal business. You've got to judge on what you see, and what we've seen is sort of a bit of a square peg in a round hole. You know, we've got a very, very clear ethos by Warburton about how we play football, a formation at the fans forum. He said, you know, there's only one plan, that's plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, you do plan A better. So he set his stall out, and this is how we play. To change that for what we've seen of, you know, Nick is kind of like, is a bit mad. He's you know, he's obviously not an awful player, but is he up to the level that we need? And I my hunch is, and I say it every week, we've seen enough poor players to know when we see one. I'm not saying he's poor, but is he the championship striker that we need? I'd suggest he isn't. Hull suggested he wasn't. So you know, yeah, he's been unlucky with injuries in the past. He's been out on loan. He's here now. He's a fresh start, but it's not really working for him or us. So you know, the vibes aren't great. That's all I can say.
Okay, but Mark Warburton and the coaching staff see him week in, week out, and from what I can gather, and this is before, they're very excited about him. They think that he offers us a different option, and you know, maybe they want to see it out there, you know, on the pitch, and maybe when he goes out there, he hasn't quite performed like he should do, and it's one of those players who needs to be given 2, 3, 4 months to actually get into the swing of things. I mean, again, I'm out there and I see him, you know, I see the ball come to him, and instead of heading it forwards, he's headed it right back into the midfield, which confuses a lot of fans. You know, he's a Brentford player through and through, so we're not going to go out and slag off Brentford players, because that's not what you do. You get behind your team, you get behind your players. But you do get a little bit nervous when he does come on, because there is a little bit of like, oh, you know, what's Nick going to do now? And you do hope almost like one day that he may come on and absolutely just do something, you know, fantastic. Probably like the good old-fashioned Bobby Booker days, when Bobby Booker used to come on before, and he was like, oh, it's Bob Booker. All of a sudden, he came on and scored a hat-trick against Hull, I think it was. And then after that, Bob Booker was the big legend and everybody loved him. So I don't know with Big Nick. Obviously, the jury's out. The problem we've got is that we have not that many strikers. Hogan's been injured. Patino is still obviously working his way up to a certain standard. I mean, Patino, a lot of people have been talking about Patino. Why isn't Patino on the bench, you know, on the pitch? We've got him from Sporting Lisbon. He's meant to be highly rated. Is it the case that we've looked at him and thought, actually, he's quite not the ticket as yet? He's got a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, but you could, you know, he may not have all the facets to his game that Nick has in terms of giving us an option of height and, you know, supposedly being able to hold the ball up. But I reckon he would have taken the chance, you know, at the end of the Sheffield Wednesday game. You know, I think a different striker, one in form and one in confident form, would have taken that. And I'm just hoping it's not going to get to a stage where Nick is going to get a goal for us. I mean, you know, we create so many chances. He's going to be in a position where, you know, he can't miss, you know, like away at Dagenham. But I just don't want it to end up being a kind of like pointing to this number and sort of like it being a personal battle or personal issue. I don't think it's going to get to that stage. But, you know, I don't think we should be considering dropping him and dropping Gray and starting with him, because, you know, one is full of tricks and full of confidence who isn't taking every chance that comes his way. And the other one looks well short of being a Brentford first teamer. You know, we've improved amazingly over the last two seasons, and we need to be improving, not weakening our team just to for an experiment, to be honest.
I mean, we've got on the bench potentially coming off, we've got Smith, who's been injured for quite a few weeks now, but he came back in the development squad on Monday, scored a goal against Birmingham City. And he wasn't on the bench on Tuesday, obviously not ready. He's had a few more days in training, but potentially he could be on the bench on Saturday and could be an option for us, couldn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, on the flip side, what we've seen from Tommy Smith is a useful substitute. Again, I don't see him as a starting 11 member. He probably doesn't see himself as that either. But he can hold the ball up. He's got bags of experience at this level. He scored a very important goal against Charlton in the first game of the season, which brought we're going back to 1-1. He's well worth his place on the bench, and I've got no qualms about him coming into the team at any stage. And it's good that we're getting injured players back, and you know, we're getting sort of selection choices, which, you know, it can only be good for the team.
And talking about selection choice, James Tarkowski was out the game on Tuesday because he was banned for after the booking that he got at the weekend, but he potentially can be back this weekend. So we've got that age-old problem. We've got 3-2.
Or 3-2, indeed, yes.
Who doesn't quite fit. Harley Dean was well recorded in complaining, saying that he's been made a scapegoat, he feels, for the defeats and the problems that the team's had over a short period of time. And he's been ousted, and he's been made sort of third-place defender. Do you think that that's a fair thing that Harley said?
I don't think it's a fair thing he said. No, I don't think he should have said that at all. He hasn't been made a scapegoat. I think fans will always support him. I think Warburton has picked his best two centre-backs. I think the best two centre-backs at this club at the moment are Craig and Tarkowski. You can sort of take that on the chin, or you can sort of, you know, say, you know, I've been hard done by. But from that's, you know, I don't think there's many fans that would disagree with what Warburton's doing in terms of his selection at the back. what he does on Saturday, I think he'll bring Tarkey back, which will be harsh. I don't think Dean put a foot wrong or a head wrong on Tuesday night against Sheffield Wednesday, but you know, with I just don't think we're in that game of picking what's the comfortable decision. I think it's what's right, and I think you have to pick your very strongest team. Bolton are going to be a threat. This is the first home game under Neil Lennon. They'll want to impress him. They're expecting a big crowd there. You know, it could be, you know, borderline 20,000. We need to be as tight as we can be, and you know, I think Harley Dean's going to have to get used to not having it all his own way, I'm afraid.
I mean, he did have a good game on Tuesday.
He did.
Wednesday. Fantastic. And it's interesting as well, because it's one of those scenarios where you think that, you know, you're also out to prove a point. And he was a bit like, again, like a man possessed, you know, didn't put a foot wrong, played that fantastic crossfield ball as well, which, you know, couldn't have, you know, something could have come off the back of that. But he had a fantastic game, and probably in any other season, in any other team, you know, he would walk straight into the first team. But, you know, is that just a testament as to where Brentford are at the moment now, that we've got actually three excellent centre-backs, which are, you know, which are doing the business? And, you know, at some stage you're going to have to rotate. I mean, James Tarkowski, he is the yellow card king. He gets booked so much, he'll probably be suspended at least twice a season. You know, when he came to us, he had untold cards last season, and he got suspended, I think, very quickly. So we will be actually having our players rotated. There's injuries, there's so on and so forth. And maybe it's a position of strength that Brentford have, that we actually have this scenario where we've got three very, very strong centre-backs.
I think all the better players are going to have to get used to sort of coming in and coming out. You know, and there is a certain amount of rotation when we've got, you know, a very, you know, a full, you know, when they've got no injuries. But we're going to need as much pace as we can get on Saturday. Beckford probably be playing, and is quick, and we just need someone who can sort of put him in his place and make sure they don't get past him. And I think Tarkey's got a bit more speed than Dean, and I think for that reason that he'll get picked. So we shall see. You know, I've got no problems with Harley or Tarkey playing on Saturday. You know, they're both more than capable of doing a brilliant job for Brentford. And I'm not gonna sort of be down if one's in and one's not. And I just think that Warburton will pick Tarkey. I think that's the way he is at the moment. I think he's just gonna pick the strongest possible team he can, and I think he feels that Tarkey's first choice and Harley isn't.
Talking about selections as well, I mean, in the midfield, we've got a plethora of midfielders still waiting for some to come back. People like Dallas, who have obviously been injured, and it'd be great to see him come back into the side to give us a different option. Could have really done with him on Saturday, actually. If he'd come on, maybe would have offered a different option in that attacking front, but he wasn't there. But we've got the man Tumani, who he's been loyal to Brentford. He turned down moves to go to, you know, to Coventry, to other places. People would love him in, you know, in Division 1 in particular. He'd be a key player. But he says, I want to stay at Brentford and fight for my place. And Mark Warburton has turned around and said to him, you need to earn a contract. I want you to earn a contract. Do you think that he is a Championship player?
I do. Again, you know, I don't want to. It sounds like I'm sort of being overly harsh on these players. I see him as a Brentford substitute. I don't see him as a Brentford first 11 player. I think he's a great squad player. The fans love him. You can see he tries his hardest at all times. He's got the most woeful shot in the world, though. There was a couple of stray passes on Tuesday night, which, again, you know, if we're going to talk about him, we've got to highlight that. I'd like him to stay, but if he's talking about his long-term future, then perhaps that might be away from Brentford. Maybe, you know, maybe his agent and himself might look at a longer-term situation where he gets more first-team football, and that might be somewhere else. But I think he's a great squad player. He's one that, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve, and you know, the fans love him. They sing his name when he's warming up. And that shows you the respect he's earned, and you have to earn that respect. And so today he's done that. He's done it. He's earned it. So I can't see him changing. He's not a lazy player. Maybe Warbs is playing a bit of a mind game. He's got to step it up a little bit more. Maybe find a little bit more quality in some of his passing. But he's kind of like one of those players that one game he can look brilliant, another game he can look average. Maybe it's that consistency he's looking for. I hope he does what Warbs wants him to do, and I hope he's offered a contract. What he does with it, you know, whether he accepts it or goes somewhere else, we'll see.
Just as one last point about the Wednesday game, Sheffield Wednesday were very kind in actually giving Brentford a present for their 125th anniversary, a cut crystal decanter. Nice touch from Wednesday, didn't you think that, Dave?
Yeah, it's lovely. I'm sure that it's in the boardroom with all our trophies now. I prefer it if they'd given us an owl, like a real owl. I think that would have been way better. You know, like a barn owl, or maybe an eagle owl, or a snowy owl. A snowy owl would be good.
Or maybe 3 points.
3 points would have been lovely, but no, I reckon a real owl would have been great, and then we could have had that in, you know, just doing tricks at half time. Peter Gillam could hold it, and he could do some sort of like, you know, with big leather glove on and bells, some sort of like medieval kind of eagle jousting would have been good. So, yeah, but it's a nice touch, Bill. But I think, you know, if you're gonna give someone a present, you need to be a bit more thoughtful than a crystal goblet.
Yes, and I mean, 125th anniversary, and just harking back to one of our old players who unfortunately, very sadly, died this week, George Francis. Massive, massive player for Brentford just after the war, in the 50s. Scored 136 goals, part of the Twin Towers. I mean, Dave, you've been doing quite a lot of research for the Brentford 125th yearbook, and you know a lot about George Francis, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was lucky enough to interview George at his house a few years back, and he was such a lovely fella. He was as bright as a button. He had so much love for the club. He was a local boy, you know, born in Acton. But as you say, he sort of, you know, he had the famous partnership with Jim Towers. They were part of the same cinema team. And they served together in the same regiment, I believe, in the war, to do the national service. And his scoring record with Jim, and, you know, individually as well, was just phenomenal.
I mean, they scored 61 goals in the 58-59 season, which was unbelievable, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I've met a lot of old players recently, and you could tell that he didn't head the ball an awful lot, because a lot of players from that era that did a lot of heading, they've suffered from memory loss and Alzheimer's and all kinds. So he was a shorter player than Jim, he was prolific. You know, if you see on the front of the Besotted website, there's a rotation of pictures, and he's one of them. He's a sort of a colourised picture, and he's sitting there in the middle of a squad of players, and you can tell how proud he is to be there. He was a lovely man, his record for the club is just beyond comparison with anything recent. You know, players don't score that amount of goals anymore. He is a sad loss, and I think it's great that the club were able to introduce him into the Hall of Fame before sort of it was too late. So thoughts and condolences of his family, but a massive, massive thank you to him for what he did for a club, because he really is an iconic Brentford player, and whether we see the likes of that again in terms of prolific goal scoring ability, you know, you've just got to hope we can, but we'll see. But so yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, George Francis, Brentford legend. All right, we're going to go over and we're going to chat. We're going to get on the line, Mr. Matt Anderson from the Lion of Vienna fanzine, the Bolton fanzine. Going to have a little chat, talk about the game at the weekend.
Okay, welcome to Matt Anderson. He is one of the contributors to the blog called Lion of Vienna, which can be found at lionofviennasuite.sbnation.com. we're gonna in the build-up phase to another match. These matches whiz round, it would appear. So one more day to go, and then we're into weekend mode. So the Bees are at Bolton, at the Reebok on Saturday, where Neil Lennon is got the unenviable task of turning the Trotters' fortunes around after Doogie Freedman was sacked recently or left recently. So Matt, Neil's he's a high-profile manager appointment. You know, to a certain extent, as I was saying earlier, he's a bit of an unknown commodity.
Yeah.
You know, my cat could win the title with Celtic. turning your fortunes around is a little bit of a different prospect. What's your vibe? Do you think he's got what it takes?
Yeah, well, I think he's got that winning mentality, and that's really what we need at the minute more than anything. Is we need someone with a bit of something about them to get the players up for it more than any. Like, that's what we need at the minute. Tactically, obviously, there's always going to be that question mark about him, whether he's had the experience and things like that, you know, available to really get at the team and improve defensively what we need and things like that. But just, you can see already the impact that he's had with the players, morale-wise and things like that. They're already fighting for balls harder than they were before and going into tackles better and, you know, just get really have a bit more passion for the game, which I think is what we needed. It was a bit of a disconnect between the fans and the players. He brought that back a lot. So I think that in essence is what's going to be best about his appointment. Obviously, there's more to come. He's only been in charge for two games, so we don't know exactly what he can bring tactically. But
so he started off with a win at St Andrews, and then
obviously
a defeat to Charlton.
That's right. Yeah.
Week. He's concerned. I mean, I've read a few things. He's concerned about his reputation following him down from Celtic. But you know, he certainly is a feisty one, and you know, he got into a bit of a fracas at St Andrews. Can you tell us exactly what happened?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it a fracas. It was more, I think it was the female linesman that's been doing, you know, the touch lines recently was the fourth official, and he was just leaving his technical area a few times. Apparently, he says the rules on that in Scotland are a bit more lenient. You're able to leave for a few yards and things like that. And he was just on the pitch trying to speak to Jay Spear, and he was the captain, about penalty takers at the time. And the referee decided it was one too many times he left the technical area, so he was promptly sent to the stands. There was nothing malicious about it or anything like that. It was just a...
So it was a petty rule infringement rather than anything notorious.
Exactly. It was
so,
dull,
really. I mean, you know, the win at St Andrews kind of stopped the rot. You know, you'd been on a miserable run of results, and including a 4-0 spanking at Fulham. You know, for God's sake, Fulham are even above you, so that shows you how bad your season's been. What's the vibe amongst the fans? I mean, were they sort of screaming for, you know, the sacking of Freeman, or were they sort of patient, how was the vibe bringing up there?
Well, at the start of the season, for some reason, there was some sort of optimism about what he could bring. He seems to bring that out of people, Friedman. He just sort of he says the right things and things like that. But as the season wore on, it just got worse and worse tactically, and performances like plummeted and things like that. And it just got to a point where it was untenable, really. The fans weren't, you know, didn't feel part of the club. I think it took so long for the fans to want him out, that just because they'd lost passion for the game and for the club and things like that, it just sort of it got that bad. But that's where I think that's why I think that Neil will obviously bring a lot more. That's why the upturn in form, I can see that coming from his passion and things like that.
So it's another example of the grass isn't always greener. You know, he was doing such a great job at Crystal Palace, and he was about to take him up to the Premiership, and he's risked everything to go to Bolton, and it's backfired, and you've got to wonder where his next managerial, you know, appointment's going to be. And you know, we saw that with, you know, Uwe Rosler leaving Brentford to go to Wigan, where, you know, it's just not working out for him there either. And sometimes, you know, I know there's that ever, you know, it's the temptation always to get to move on to get up that, you know, the ladder, but sometimes it's best to build an empire, maybe. I don't know.
Exactly.
So the match on Saturday, you know, You must be really hopeful that, you know, the fans can get behind the team and the new manager, and you can get another win. You know, what's your vibe? What's your prediction?
Well, I'm thinking fans-wise, hopefully it's going to get back to the days of the Premier League days. That's what we're hoping for anyway, where we can get, you know, up above sort of the 20,000s, because it's been really poor recently, really poor. Because it's such a new stadium as well, it doesn't really create that atmosphere like an old ground does. It's like we really need the fans there to really create that atmosphere. So we're hoping that the feel-good factor at the minute, that's what we can get an atmosphere going again, get a bit of a roar back. But prediction-wise for the game, I'd imagine, I know you don't score many, do you? You don't seem to.
We haven't for the last couple of games. We're capable of it. We threaten to score a lot, and you know, I think it's going to be one of those seasons where when it all clicks into place, you know, we're going to, you know, capable of giving people a proper hiding. But you know, that can go both ways as well. You know, we've shored up our defensive frailties, but it's just getting that combination. You know, we're still learning, and we're not getting it right every week, but we're playing some good stuff. It's going to be, you know, should be an entertaining game if you come at us. We'll certainly go toe to toe with any footballing team. You know, and we've only had one really off day. That was at Middlesbrough, and even the Norwich defeat at home, which was on paper, it looks quite a heavy one. We outplayed them for 70 minutes, and it, you know, it was just a series of events that, you know, the game got away from us. But you know, it should be a really good match. I would have thought it's going to be tight. I suspect. So can you talk us through the team, and you know, who should we look out for? Who should we fear? What kind of formation do you expect him to play? And you know, is there sort of players that have come in that weren't featuring in the previous regime?
I don't think there's been massive wholesale changes. I was expecting more, maybe. Well, I was definitely expecting more. And we've seen a reintroduction of Darren Brattley on the left-hand side, which doesn't seem to have worked out really.
Who Brentford fans will be very familiar with. He played with us for a little while.
Yeah, well, he's very. I suppose he's dynamic and he works hard, but he's not a very good footballer at the end of the day. He just doesn't possess the ability. So I think a change there is something that we need, especially attacking-wise. But we seem to be playing, Lennon seems to go for the 4-2-3-1, which we were expecting better, really. We were expecting something a bit more attacking, I suppose. But he's made that formation more attacking because he's brought Chung Young Lee into the centre, which has really sort of opened up his game. And we've seen a completely different player from him, a player that we saw in the Premier League, really. A player we expected him to be in the Championship. He's sort of opening up defences and tearing people apart. So I think that's one that Brentford fans would be, you know, wary of this game. I think him behind a striker that can actually score goals that isn't Jermaine Beckford maybe would be good for us. But midweek Mason was injured apparently, so that's why he didn't feature. But I'd be hoping to see him come into the team this weekend and maybe bag a goal or two. Defensively we have our problems as well. We've got Dean Moxey at left back, who did score midweek, but he's the left hand side for the past couple of games has been our weakest area really. So that, I think if Brentford were looking at a way to get at us, I'd imagine down your right would be the way to do it. So
Beckford, again, it's kind of another big name. He's been around a few teams recently. What kind of form has he been in this season? I know he's scored a couple of goals, but you expecting more from him?
Yeah, he's been really poor, really. If we're honest, managers seem to, you know, work on this reputation that he has when at Leeds of scoring goals and things. But you have to remember that was in League One. He did have a phenomenal goal scoring record in League One, but then he took the step up to Everton and worked hard, but still didn't really score the goals, and then he's moved back down and just hasn't found a really, you know, a rich vein of form at all. So he sometimes finds himself in the right positions, but even now with a technically very good player behind him, he still isn't scoring the goals. So I think now is the time to sort of move on, find someone else that can, you know, get us the goals, really. We have been looking at Gary Hooper from Norwich as well, but I think that's a non-starter, really. So we have to work with what we got.
Yeah. Oh, bringing him in online.
Yeah, because he's not really playing at the minute. He's coming back from injury, so. But I still don't think it's really a possibility. They paid a lot of money for him. They're probably going to want the returns themselves rather than ship him out to someone else to do it for them.
And defensively, you know, is that something that Lennon's working hard on? He needs to tighten it up at the back, and then obviously, start chipping away and getting the goals as well. But I mean, you know, Brentford have got a lot of options coming forward, and you know, are you worried about us?
Defensively, I'd be worried about any team coming against us, to be perfectly honest. If it was you that have options going forward, if it was someone else that really has no striking options, I'd still be worried that we'd make a mistake and they'd score a goal against us at the minute. But one of the big things that Lennon did when he came in was he brought Mjolby with him, which is his assistant. It was a dominating centre back when he was playing, and he said he takes it as a personal offence when they do concede, that his teams concede. So we'd hope we'd see some sort of upturn in form defensively as a consequence of him coming in. But as of yet, we haven't. But I didn't expect really too much change, because they really just haven't had time to sort of get their own systems in at the minute, because we've been up and down the country and twice now in the week that he's been here. So hopefully this weekend we'll see a bit more change towards his own sort of tactical systems and things like that, more than we have the last two games.
I think that's one thing you can expect from us on Saturday, is that we are going to come at you. We do attack. There's only, Mark Warburton, he says he's got plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, you try plan A even more. and that is to just play flowing football and go at teams. Bear that in mind. So I don't think we're going to come and sort of have a cagey contest and try and nick a goal. I think we will try and exploit the your frailties, and hopefully find a Bolton that's the one that's in relegation mood, not the one that's in survival mode. So can we have a prediction from you, old chap?
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and I think I'm going to go a high scoring game, to be honest, because I know you can be quite solid defensively, but we certainly can't. So I think a win for me it's not a certainty, but it's something that I expect to happen. So I think if Mason comes in, I think we could probably do something along the lines of a 4-2. The proper high scoring game, so at least you'll be entertained on the way back down to Brentford, I suppose.
Oh God! Yeah, I'm gonna withhold my prediction until tomorrow. I'm gonna be a bit of a wimp, but I think if you're gonna put me on the spot, I think it'll be another draw. Actually, a score draw this time. It's not gonna be another 0-0. Maybe 1-2 draw.
Two all's a possibility, I suppose, because I think we're capable of conceding, and especially at home with the fans behind us. And if we bring in someone that isn't Beckford, we'll definitely score goals as well. So.
And you say 20 plus thousand. You thinking Saturday?
Hopefully. With the feel good factor that we've got at the minute, I would hope anyway that we could bring in fans like that. I know some people aren't expecting numbers of that amount, but I would hope so. Something up around that mark. Yeah.
It's his first home game, isn't it? So
exactly.
You've got to get down there and support him, or at least see what's changed and see what the atmosphere's like. Okay, Matt, well, thanks for joining Besotted. Don't forget, if you want to check Matt's contributions out, it's lionofviennasuite.sbnation.com. Okay, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Right. Cheers, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, interesting chat to Matt Anderson there from Lion of the Vienna. Bolton fans seem like they're up for it. He's not quite sure whether or not they're going to actually get the result. We need to go up there and play as well as we've done in past weeks to actually make sure that we kind of nail down 3 points, because we really do need 3 points on Saturday after these two one-pointers, I think. So, yes, let's got to wrap this up now, Dave. Good little chat today. Good little chat. So, looking forward to Saturday? Long train journey?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to the game more than the journey. But I think they're there for the taking. I think it's going to be an open game. I think, as I said in the interview with Matt, it's just it's whether that they rise to the occasion of Lennon's first home game. It's seeing what impact that is. But I think Bolton are there for the taking. If we can be on the top of our game, they're not going to turn. They're obviously a poor team this season, and they're not going to necessarily turn that round overnight. So we've got to tuck in and just attack.
Definitely. And just keep in tune with Besotted. If you can't make the match, or if you're going to the match, first of all, keep in tune with the side. We'll be able to just maybe give you a few little hints as to where to go to drink before the game. Not that many places in Horwich Parkway to drink. The Beehive, we've been told, which is all right, not about half a mile away. But there's places in Horwich itself which are half decent from what we've been told. So have a look out on Besotted Twitter. Just having a look around, and we'll give you little thoughts on that as well. If you can't make the game, you could check our Twitter feed, because we do try and keep you up to date, blow by blow, goal by goal, as to what's happening there. So that's at Besotted there, and also look at besotted.co.uk. On the website, we'll have reports before, reports after. We've got this our audio boom, which we'll be doing a couple of podcasts probably before and after the game, just giving, you know, a view of the fans an hour before the game, maybe an hour after the game. So lots of things going on with Besotted. You can catch it if you just go onto besotted.co.uk website. It's been a profitable week. It's been a decent week. We haven't lost. You know, we're moving in the right direction. Onwards and upwards. Let's look forward to Bolton. Come on, you bees.
Come on, you bees. Brentford FC, come on. Come on, you Brentford. Come on. Come on, you bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.